Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Wheat, good morning and happy Sunday to you.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. How are you?
Doing very well. I was reading this week that the city of Chicago has experienced its first three human cases of West Nile virus for 2025. All three people began experiencing symptoms. Human cases confirmed in Lake and DuPage County. Let's start from the beginning with this and explain, what is West Nile virus?
Absolutely. West Nile virus is a disease that is spread by mosquitoes. And the symptoms can feel pretty vague, actually. And so it can be feel like any other virus that you might have. It often has fever and headache and body aches. It can even have vomiting, diarrhea, and a rash. It can be pretty bad and actually result in hospitalization or death, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we don't have the best treatments for it.
How does one get the West Nile virus?
Usually you get it from an infected mosquito, which is why it's really important to try to prevent yourself from being bitten by mosquitoes whenever you can, especially when we start to see that West Nile is around.
And I would imagine to keep your environment as mosquito repellent as possible, pools of water.
Exactly.
I don't even know what else mosquitoes like. Except my bare skin when I'm outside. I know they like that. But
absolutely.
But I know standing water is where mosquitoes breed. So, you know, if you have those, you know, try to break those pools of water up if you can to keep the mosquitoes away and therefore keep the West Nile away. How is it different from, just a mosquito bite, regular mosquito bite?
Regular mosquito bite usually just causes irritation. It causes that local reaction, and some of us have worse mosquito bites than others. Some of us have those big lesions where you have the big hive that feels like it's taking up your entire leg, and some of us don't have very much. But this is actually a virus that you're getting at the same time, and so you do have a real viral illness as opposed to just the local site reaction.
So, I was going to say, aside from the regular itchy bump that you might get, and I have seen people that get welt-like symptoms, giant bumps, from that. That's just the person's metabolism when something like that happens, or is that something the person should be concerned with if they have such an ultra reaction to a mosquito bite?
Sometimes it's just a person, and sometimes you will find that, especially when you move to a new location, you'll find that you react more strongly to the mosquitoes in that area, and it's sort of just a different reaction. And it's not necessarily something that you need to go seek medical care for unless it becomes larger and infected, maybe sometimes from scratching it and causing like a causing a break in the skin that lets an infection get in there. If it looks like it's infected, then that's a time to come in and see us. But otherwise, you can usually just take antihistamines or put a little bit of cream on it to try to do your best from feeling the itchiness that happens.
Yeah, relieve that. So that's awful when that finally happens. What about repellents for it all? You see plenty of them on the store shelves. Are some better than others? Are some ones that you should avoid because of their chemical content?
That's absolutely true. There are some that are better to use than others. I would start not just with repellents, but even just wearing clothing that cover all of the different aspects of your skin. So making sure you're wearing long pants and long sleeves if you're going to be a place where there are lots of potential mosquitoes, like if you're going hiking. But DEET is the active ingredient that many repellents have, and so that can be in sprays, it can be in mists. And it's something that we tend to be really cautious of. It's generally safe to use, but you want to be careful that it doesn't get inside your eyes or your mouth, and you want to make sure you wash it off before you go to bed. But this is the one that is one of the oldest and most effective.
Okay, so DEET is what you should look for, but be careful with it. What about, natural repellents being advertised? I think of citronella as one, a plant, which is, said to keep mosquitoes away. Are things like that effective?
I will tell you, I actually have a citronella plant in my own backyard because I figure keeping away as much as possible is helpful. It can help repel mosquitoes. It is not going to be perfect, just like anything else. And so you still want to take into account those other preventive measures, like covering totally, like I mentioned before, and still considering additional repellents that you might use.
Yeah. What about, I forget what the name, Avon had a product that everybody was talking about that was supposed to be so effective and non-chemical. Can't think of the name of it right now, but there are some sprays which are oils and things like that. Are those as effective as the DEET repellents?
They are not as effective, but it's still worthwhile to use it. You still want to do your best to try to keep the mosquitoes away, especially now that we've had these cases come up.
All right. So everybody just be careful, I guess, is the key to that. And cover yourself up as much as you can and, go from there. Avon Skin So Soft, I'm being told, is the repellent that everybody was talking about. It's a repellent and also an anti-itch spray. So there you go with that. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Wouldn't be a medical segment each week if we didn't have tons of questions about COVID vaccines. And 407 texts in, is there an updated COVID vaccine available yet? And can you take it with your flu shot at the same time?
So I was looking up this morning to see if they were available yet. It is my understanding that it is not available yet in most areas, that the pharmacies are where most of us got COVID shots last year. That's where it was the most widely available. And many pharmacies had pulled the previous formulation from last year from their shelves in anticipation of the new ones. I have not seen any of my patients able to get the new ones yet. But yes, in answer to the second question, it is absolutely okay to get two shots on the same day. And so COVID and flu on the same day makes sense. It is definitely important to remember that vaccines rev up your immune system. And so you might not feel great for a day after getting that, though it's not actually getting the disease from the vaccine.
Yeah, somebody, a doctor told me that feeling that you get after you take the shot and you don't feel so great for a day or so, that's a sign that it's working. That's your immune system working. So, while you may not feel so good, you should at least feel better that inside your body.
That it's doing its job.
Exactly right. What about getting the vaccinations in the same arm? Because that's also another thing where you have that soreness for a day or two afterwards. If you can isolate that all into one arm, is that a good idea, or is it better to spread it out?
That is really personal preference. I am a person that likes to get the same, the two vaccines in the same arm, especially if I've had the vaccine before. The main reason to spread it out is if you want to, like you said, limit the amount of soreness in just one side. But also, if you have them both on the same side, if you do have a local reaction, it's hard to tell which vaccine it came from. And so it would primarily be to see the difference. For my family, I tend to try to get it all on the same side, so only one arm hurts.
Yeah. Somebody's asking, are we in that time of year when you should be getting your flu shot? I think we are now, right?
We are, and I have heard of pharmacies having it already. Some people recommend that you wait just a little bit to get into September, but I really think it depends on your lifestyle and your immune status. If you have big travel coming up, if you are going into things where you're going to be around a lot of people, or if you're immunosuppressed, then I think it's worthwhile considering getting it early and making sure that you have access to it. If you are working remotely and not around a lot of people and aren't planning to travel until later, then it might be worthwhile to wait just a little bit. But I definitely have heard of people successfully getting their vaccines for this year at pharmacies.
I need to take a break, but I wanted to ask you about nasal spray instead of needle injection for vaccinations. We'll continue with Dr. Santina Wheat in just a moment. Chicago's very own WGN. 9:54, the week in health. Dr. Santina Wheat on the line with us here answering your questions at 312-981-7200. And Ruth, oh, hello there, Ruth. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Great to be with you today.
Likewise.
My question is, I don't remember if it's a vaccine or an actual shot, but it's a DTP vaccine. It's supposed to be every 10 years, and I started doing that in 03, and then I did it again in 13. I should have done it in 23, but I didn't. Is it necessary to continue that or not?
I would absolutely recommend that you get it. The shot that you're talking about is the Tdap vaccine, and it protects against tetanus and pertussis. We mm-hmm. worry about tetanus if you were to have like a major cut. The way I learned about it in medical school is that person that steps on a rusty nail accidentally to protect against the tetanus toxoid. And so I absolutely recommend that one for safety. And then the P part is the pertussis, and that's whooping cough. And we have actually seen whooping cough going around more recently in the past year. And so it is one that I do recommend every 10 years. And then the other piece of that is if you've had it more than 5 years ago and then you have a dirty cut, then we recommend that you get another one.
312 area code asks, what's your opinion about nasal sprays replacing vaccines or nasal sprays versus EpiPens for anaphylactic prevention?
So I think that whatever vaccine that you can get that you're willing to take is a great vaccine. The nasal spray for vaccines that I'm most familiar with is the flu shot or for the flu vaccine, and it does have a lot of limitations. It is only available for those who are 2 to 49, and it's not available for anyone that has several underlying medical conditions or immune suppression. So you really do want to make sure that you're a good candidate for it. But if you are otherwise healthy, then it is a great option. Similarly, for EpiPens, if that is how you can get the medicine in and it's going to be the most efficient, then I am always for the thing that is going to be the most effective for you as a person.
Yeah, and whatever is quickest, I guess. How does that compare, nasal spray versus injection, in terms of an allergic reaction?
It's really about, can you get it in fast? And so I most often prescribe the injection because that's what's been around the longest and many people are familiar using it. But we are seeing more and more medications that are coming on the market that offer nasal spray options, and having it as easy is a great thing to have out in the public.
Dr. Santina Wheat is a program director, Northwestern's Family Medicine. Always nice to talk with you, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.